A championship coach stands on the sideline, watching his team crumble under pressure. Despite perfect technique drilled through thousands of practice hours, his players freeze in crucial moments. Years later, after discovering a slim book about tennis, Pete Carroll would transform his entire coaching philosophy, leading teams to championships by teaching athletes not what to do, but how to get out of their own way. This wasn't about motivation or discipline. It was about recognizing a truth most of us discover too late. The voice inside your head, constantly judging and instructing, is often your biggest obstacle to excellence. Every time you step onto a tennis court or into any performance situation, two distinct forces battle for control. Self one is that familiar voice of constant commentary. Keep your wrist firm. That was terrible. Everyone's watching you mess up. It's the analytical mind armed with technical knowledge, past failures, and social expectations. Self two is entirely different. Your body's innate intelligence, the same wisdom that coordinates dozens of muscles to catch a falling glass before you consciously register it's dropped. Think about returning a 120-mile serve. In a fraction of a second, your body calculates trajectory, adjusts for wind, coordinates balance, and positions your racket at precisely the right angle. No conscious thought required. This happens regularly, even for average players, revealing capabilities that dwarf our analytical mind's processing power. Yet Self 1 doesn't trust this intelligence. Like an anxious micromanager, it believes constant instruction and criticism are necessary for performance. Self 1's constant analyzing and judging creates the primary barrier to peak performance, interrupting natural movement and generating tension. The solution isn't positive thinking or harder concentration, it's observing without judgment. When your shot lands long, Self 1 screams, "That was terrible," triggering emotional reactions and muscle tension. Pure observation simply notes, "The ball landed 3 feet beyond the baseline." Same information, zero emotional interference. Joan demonstrated this perfectly. Despite solid technique, she consistently hit balls on her racket frame. Asked simply to watch the ball's seams without trying to control anything, 9 of 10 shots landed perfectly centered. The moment Self 1 stopped interfering, Self 2's natural competence emerged. Jack struggled with his backhand for years, despite 5 instructors. Rather than offering corrections, he was asked to watch his swing reflected in a window. He was stunned to see his racket rising high above his head, something he'd never noticed because his mind was too busy judging results rather than seeing reality. Once he perceived his actual movement without judgment, he effortlessly corrected it. Here's the surprising part. Positive thinking can be just as problematic as negative thinking. Even praise engages the judgmental mind. True non-judgmental awareness means seeing things exactly as they are, watching your game like watching a movie, with interest but without emotional investment. Genuine confidence comes from recognizing your body's inherent intelligence. During a simple serve return, your body performs complex calculations and split-second adjustments faster than conscious thought could orchestrate. Yet we rarely acknowledge this capability, instead obsessing over mistakes. When Self 1 takes over during important points, muscles tighten unnecessarily, ironically reducing power, since a loose wrist snaps faster than a rigid one. The relationship between Self 1 and Self 2 should resemble a parent watching a child learn to walk, with loving interest but minimal interference. Remember Joan hitting her racket frame? When told to try hard to hit the center, she kept missing. When asked only to watch the ball's seams, she struck 9 of 10 perfectly centered. By occupying Self 1 with seam watching, Self 2 performed naturally. Self 2 responds best to images rather than verbal instructions. When Sally complained about her forehand's technical flaws, she was asked to imagine the arc needed for deep shots. Without consciously correcting technique, she held this image and let her body respond. 15 of 20 balls landed deep with increasing power, while her mechanics improved naturally. Your body moves toward clear mental images far more effectively than it follows verbal commands. Our educational system teaches us that learning requires external instruction and conscious effort. Yet our most powerful learning mechanism is already built into our DNA. The same process allowing children to master walking and talking without formal instruction. Natural learning begins with non-judgmental observation, providing your nervous system clear information about current reality. Second, hold a clear image of the desired outcome rather than focusing on what's wrong. Your body naturally moves toward images held in mind. Third, trust your body to find its own way without excessive conscious control. Children learning to walk don't analyze each muscle movement or follow manuals. They have clear desire, make countless attempts, and allow their nervous system to naturally refine patterns. This innate mechanism remains potent throughout life, though we often override it with conscious interference. Most players struggle not with learning new techniques, but breaking old habits. The conventional approach creates a vicious cycle: criticize past behavior, issue repetitive commands, force correct execution, then judge results critically. Children don't break the habit of crawling. They simply leave it behind as walking becomes easier. Similarly, rather than fighting old tennis habits, start new patterns with childlike disregard for imagined difficulties. Observe non-judgmentally, picture the desired outcome, trust your body to change naturally, and observe results without judgment. Despite dramatic improvement through this approach, students often revert to trying hard because it provides ego satisfaction, even though natural learning produces superior results. Quieting the mind requires focus, not force. Relaxed concentration is the supreme art. No other skill can be achieved without it. While "watch the ball" is tennis's most repeated instruction, few players truly see it. Effective focus means directing attention to something subtle, like the exact pattern of the ball's seams as it spins. This produces remarkable results. Players see the ball better, watch it longer, and sometimes perceive it as larger or moving slower. Because focusing on seams is subtle, it engrosses the mind completely, preventing self-won from interfering. One powerful technique involves saying "bounce" when the ball hits the court and "hit" when it contacts either racket. This verbal tracking keeps eyes focused while the rhythm holds attention. Beginners using this technique often develop effective footwork and strokes within minutes, carrying on lengthy baseline exchanges without overthinking. True focus always exists in the present moment. The greatest concentration lapses occur when the mind projects into the future, "what if I lose this point," or dwells on the past, "if that serve hadn't been called out." These mental digressions drain energy from the present. The state of playing in the zone occurs when self-one is absent and self-two is present. No self-criticism, no thoughts about technique, past shots, future score, or others' opinions. As NBA coach Phil Jackson described it, "the secret is not thinking, quieting the endless jabbering of thoughts so that your body can do instinctively what it's been trained to do." This zone state isn't mystical or reserved for elite athletes. It's your natural state when the judging mind steps aside. Achievement culture ties self-worth to performance, creating constant pressure. On the tennis court, this manifests as psychological games beyond tennis itself. Many players primarily play "good-o," trying to prove they're good through excellence. This spawns three subgames: perfect-o, obsessing over technical perfection; compete-o, focusing on beating others; and image-o, caring more about appearance than competence. These mental games consume more energy than the actual sport, interfering with natural performance. A conversation about surfing revealed competition's true meaning. Surfers compete against waves, seeking to overcome obstacles. The surfer waits for the biggest wave he can handle precisely because he values the challenge. Competition's essence, winning, is overcoming obstacles to reach a goal, but the value lies in the effort made, not just the victory. Your opponent provides necessary obstacles that help you experience your highest limits. True competition is actually cooperation. Each player creates difficulties for the other, giving both the opportunity to discover their capabilities. By focusing on effort, which you control, rather than winning, which you don't fully control, anxiety disappears and performance improves. This transforms competition from a threatening test of self-worth to an opportunity for self-discovery. Losses become valuable feedback rather than personal failures. Your greatest opponent isn't across the net, it's inside your head. The judgmental voice doesn't have to run the show. Your body already knows more than your conscious mind can articulate. The question isn't whether you're capable, it's whether you'll get out of your own way. This applies whether you're serving a tennis ball, giving a presentation, or navigating daily challenges. Trust your deeper intelligence. Watch without judging. Stay present. The zone you've been chasing, it's been waiting for you to stop trying so hard. Tennis technique evolution reveals how dogma changes. The Eastern forehand grip was once universally approved. Now many use the semi-Western. The once scorned open stance and two-handed backhand are now standard. These changes emerged from players experimenting and finding what worked. There is no single correct way to perform. Your body, given clear objectives and freedom to experiment, will find solutions uniquely suited to you. The implications extend beyond sports. Every performance situation, public speaking, creative work, leadership, relationships, involves the same dynamic between self-one and self-two. The judgmental mind creates interference that blocks natural competence. Observe without judgment, trust your innate capabilities, focus on the present moment, and let go of ego's need to control outcomes. When you stop fighting yourself, you discover reserves of ability you never knew existed. The game within the game isn't just about tennis. It's about reclaiming the natural excellence that's been yours all along.